about the raccoon.
That's true.
All right. Well, everyone, welcome to the Flight Test Podcast. I feel like it's been a while.
Yep.
Before we've done a... It has been a while.
I feel like it's been a year. Did we miss one completely?
We did, yeah.
Oh, no.
For unforeseen circumstances, we weren't able to release... We had a pre-recorded one for when we were on the road.
Okay, yeah.
We were in California, and you guys were in Joe Nall, and we just had basically 2 weeks completely out of the office.
Which one did we miss then?
Well, unfortunately, for unforeseen circumstances, we couldn't release it. So,
aww.
I'll tell you about it later.
I'm really sorry, guys.
But,
that was a good one, too.
Yes. Yes. Oh, it was the best. It's the best one we ever recorded. But, so yeah, it's definitely good to be back. And we figured that instead of having a guest on the show for this podcast, we would just talk about everything that we've been up to.
Play catch up, because it's been a while. Yeah. And you might notice that it sounds a little bit different. And there's a reason for that. It's because we're sitting around this one little microphone.
It's on a one little tripod.
Lonely H4N.
Yep. Yep. All of our podcast stuff is torn down at the moment because...
We're reorganizing. That's the word organize. It's funny in itself.
Yeah, that was in your vocabulary.
I don't know how to spell it.
Yes.
But yeah, we are reorganizing the shop. You guys have blessed us so much, and life is getting so busy.
We're running out of room.
Yeah. The amount of, I don't want to say clutter. It's not clutter. It's
definitely not clutter. None of that around here.
There's a lot of stuff, and a lot of stuff in different rooms, and we have to find out a better way to put that stuff because we are outgrowing this building so quickly.
Yeah, basically, the ladies and Jim and Stefan and now Mitch, who are all working back in manufacturing and shipping, they're needing more space, and we're taking up too much of that space, so we're giving them some of ours.
Yes, yes. Let's see. You have no office. Of course, you never had an office.
That's a good point.
And I no longer have an office.
Yeah, you don't even have a desk. You just have a desk. You just have a workbench.
I have a workbench, and that's the way it should be. So,
But Alex's non-office moved.
we moved Alex's lack of office, but you know what? You got to be happy because no longer you're around my homeschool kids.
I'm not by the potties either.
The potties. And if anyone knows me, I drink a lot of Mountain Dew, and you do not want to be around my potty. So
I don't think the Mountain Dew's the problem.
I would like to blame it. Maybe it's my Taco Bell infatuation. I don't know. But we're going dark here. Yeah. But Alex is now a... you're by the doors.
By the doors. Which is nice. Yep. I'm by the workbenches. Mm-hmm. Actually, we're in what used to be the podcast room.
Yep.
And we moved all the video guys in here, so they got a nice quiet space because... Lord knows they pull long hours and do a lot of great work for us.
And this would be a really good opportunity. We've never asked for prayer on anything, but Peter Schriepel is currently at his brother's graduation. His brother is... Have we not been recording the whole entire time?
No, I'm just turning the mic level up.
Oh, cool. That would have been terrible. We're on a roll. All right, back to the prayer
back
request.
Back to the story.
Yes, Peter Schriepel has been away for this past week, and we didn't choose to do this during this time. It was just the best opportunity. But he is unaware of the depth of reorganization. And he had a pretty good level of organization. You know,
he knew where everything was, and we took all of that stuff that he knew where it was, and we...
Moved it. So he's going to be coming back Monday, and this could very well be our last podcast that we ever have, because he may be light on his feet, but he could probably kill us all.
Yeah, he's crazy.
Peter's going to kill us all.
Well, hopefully he had a really good vacation, and he'll be relaxed when he comes back.
His desk is nice. He even has a whole shelf to himself. Yeah. So we'll see if it works out. But that's the shop story and why you guys have to listen to us through an H4N.
Yeah, I think it'll sound all right.
Yeah.
So we've been doing a lot of traveling. You guys were in Utah. Mm-hmm. And then you guys went to South Carolina to Joe Nall.
Yep.
And then we went out to...
We went to Ceph, too. I don't even know if we've talked about that.
We started going to Ceph.
Yeah. You guys... Left for Ceph.
We left for Ceph.
Never arrived at
Ceph.
We
made it almost there.
Do you realize from April 4th is when we went to Utah for that Steam convention.
Okay.
And that was incredible. And you guys will see some little glimpses of content when we did the, what was it that had it? The head plate goggles. We were flying in the Valley of the Gods. That was why we're in Utah. But we also did Eric's new design, Y6, and his awesome design, which is like a rail mount system. For AP platforms, and which is unreleased. Unreleased, yep. And we also have a race quad version I'm working on. Basically, kind of give another option because right now we only have one camera mount system, and we can do better than that. So we are getting footage for that. Awesome Steam convention. Learned so much about how many opportunities are there for educational elements, and that's going to tie directly into FT Connections. That's going to really hit the ground running in the near future. But then after that, Ceph.
Yeah, so how'd that Ceph trip go?
Not well. Actually, it went really well for about, what, two days?
A
couple days,
Well, because you guys were making a stop before Ceph.
We stopped by Alan Bruce's house, which is our good buddy down in South Carolina.
Yep. We met him numerous times.
That was my first time. I met him at Joe Knoll, first time being to his place out there. He's got an awesome spot.
Yeah, and we were weak on amphibious planes, and we're weak on flying off the water. And frankly, if we tried to tell you how to do it properly, we'd be lying to you. So
he's a pro.
He is definitely
a pro. He lives on the water. He lives and breathes the water.
he is all about the water. He has an amazing boat that we didn't go out on. That it's one of those crazy racing boats.
Catamaran, like huge. Yeah. Probably what, 40 foot?
Oh, it's big.
It's big. 40 foot. It's got two big block Chevy motors in the back. It's crazy. It's a crazy boat.
So he's passionate about the water.
Yeah, to say the least.
We got the 2-episode shot, or actually I think 3-episode shot with him.
At least.
Flying planes off the water. And the Polaris's Model Aero, we did some work with them, and they have really, really cool, what is it, the Polaris and the
Aquacat. This is my best experience ever flying off the water. Yeah. And I've only done it a handful of times, granted, but I never flew the Aquacat, but the Polaris, it was just a breeze. Like, typically, when at least the few amount of times that I flew off the water, it's typically pretty nerve-wracking, because especially if you're on, like, I think one time I flew, like, kind of like a Fun Cub kind of deal when you're up on pontoons. So if you mess up and you flip over or something, you're in trouble. But this little Polaris, it just handles so well on the water. You can just, like, slam it, do hard touch and goes, and just slam it off the water.
Yeah, who makes that Polaris?
Model Aero.
Model Aero.
Yep.
I think they're going to be at Flight Fest, right?
They're going to be at Flight Fest. And the one thing you guys didn't get to see in that video, if you watched it, is those things are also blast on the ground. Mm-hmm. He has this cool thing where he takes a plastic folder from Walmart and puts it on the bottom. You can go over gravel, whatever you want with it.
That's cool.
They drive on the ground, and the nice thing is, in the snow, they don't flip over. You know, a lot of planes are landing gears, they flip over. If in tall grass, this thing just goes right through it. It's kind of like a nut ball. But that was cool, but unfortunately, I was getting a scratchy throat and starting to kind of feel a little bit more miserable every day. And sorry about my phone going off. And by, day two, I was kind of a wreck.
Yeah. I think it was probably setting in earlier than you think, and you were just mind blocking it out.
I think so. I remember.
But Josh got hit so hard by, like,
he got deathly ill.
It was bad. I think that was the worst I've ever felt.
In general.
it was the worst I felt. It was the worst I've ever seen him. And what you had, like, 4 different things, right? You had you have strept?
It was a double ear infection, like. Bronchitis that turned into laryngitis or something. Another virus that gave me a cold, which aggravated the whole throat thing. And it wasn't the flu. I think it was strep, if I'm not mistaken. But it was all up in my throat. I just basically want to cut my head off. and I felt bad because everyone else stepped up so much. I kind of took refuge, and we were driving the Outlaw. But the Outlaw... It's a big RV. Neff Brothers were gracious enough to let us take this flagship, but it's brand new. And there's bugs and everything that's new, and unfortunately one of the bugs was the slide. And you guys couldn't get the slide in, and I was oblivious to it. I was up sick in the top level. And you guys had to push the slides.
So, the pop-outs on the RV, it pops out to make it bigger inside when you're parked. And the hydraulics, or we don't even know what happened.
I think it's a screw motor of some sort.
So, we were troubleshooting. Peter was taking panels off the inside of this brand new RV, like checking electrical connections and like crawling around inside. We were calling the Neff Bros RV, and they were super helpful. But they were on the horn with Outlaw, who manufactures the RV. And we go back and forth a couple times. It gets to the point where they're just like, just push it. Just push it back in. Just push the pop-out back in.
Hard as you can.
And we're just like, just push it. So the one side, there's 2 pop-outs, and all the hydraulics were out. And the one side, we got like all the guys. There was probably 6 or 7 of us, and we pushed that one in. It was pretty tough, but it went in. The other one we pushed in, but like the gears got misaligned, so it was just like jammed.
What did you push it in with?
So we tried a couple different things, but it ended up having to be, Alan's like, he's like, you know what? He's like, I got a backhoe out back. I'll just go grab that. We can take a 4x4 piece of wood, wrap it in a blanket so it doesn't damage the paint.
By the way, Alan is...
I'm not sure we should be disclosing this.
Well, that's okay. We already
got video.
Yeah, we got video of it. Alan is from the South, so he's not making fun of him. That's just...
That's how he talks.
Southern
how
accent,
he talks. Yeah. And so we were pushing it in. Basically with a backhoe, which, by the way, Alan is a extreme backhoe operator. It was amazing to watch him work. He was just like, and the thing was just like perfectly articulating, like inches away from this brand new RV, and he didn't scratch it once. Yep. But basically, we padded it with blankets and pushed it back in. And
I dare them to find the damage.
Meanwhile, Josh is up in the top bed of the RV, deathly sick, nearly dead.
I had no clue.
He doesn't know what's going on, but the whole RV is just like shaking like an earthquake.
Well, Josh, you're probably just like, well, this is it.
I tell you what,
the sound that pop out made when we pushed it in with a backhoe was not good.
Yeah. Well, and we've used it since then. We took it to Joe Knoll, and everything was working much better, and nothing was damaged, and I got our full deposit back. So
there you go.
So we're good there. But thank God you guys did do that, because I remember you guys hitting the road. I don't think I even said goodbye to poor Alan, but you guys hit the road and took me to like a minute clinic.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where they started giving me the...
Pulling that RV in there was interesting. I drove majority of the way home. Peter helped out towards the end when I started to fade. But yeah, driving a Class A RV, I tell you, they're...
Pulling a trailer.
Pulling a big trailer. It's an experience.
So ultimately, you guys kicked around the idea of you and Jen flying home and
yep.
or renting a car and driving separately or something like that. But ultimately, it was just kind of... The trip was just kind of canned at that point. So
yeah.
Apologize to anybody that came to Steph hoping to see us. We wanted to see you too. But
we missed. It looked like an amazing time.
So yeah, that was just one of those things you can't plan for. So,
but all in all, I mean, up until that day, pretty much, it was a good trip.
It was a good trip. And next year, we'll hopefully make it to Steph and get to complete the journey.
Set off some fireworks, because I saw the videos of people at Steph setting off fireworks.
Crazy.
Looked fun.
So that was Steph, or not Steph, but that was that trip. And then how many weeks was it between that and all? Like only two
weeks.
Two weeks?
That's 2 weeks.
10 days maybe. Yeah.
Ridiculously quick. And... we went to Knoll, and matter of fact, we have a new player on our team, and if you guys went to Knoll, you got to meet him, Mitchell.
Mm-hmm.
Mitchell's on our team now, and he has been an amazing part of flight test. He's behind the scenes, but he has built every single one of our planes, at least, and phenomenal. He's working in manufacturing, helping my wonderful wife out, and your wife, in shipping, and he came down to help in the build tent, and this is something I really want to thank the guys at Triple Tree for, because we had the opportunity at Joe Knoll this year to put up a build tent. And have a flight test line.
Yeah, just like Flight Fest.
Yep, and when I say flight test line, not line for flight test only, but a flight test, a place to test what you built.
Yes.
And
the literal sense of flight test.
The literal sense of flight test. And that was awesome. We rolled in and got there at a decent hour, set up, and the amount of activity at the electric line is easily double what it was, you know, years before.
That's kind of the line now, Joe Knoll, is my understanding. I mean, it's... the main line's always the cool, elaborate
mm-hmm.
planes and some of the, you know, the turbines and stuff like that, but the party's at the electric line.
It really is.
I think the main line is where the spectators go, and then the veteran pilots that have, you know, with the giant scale, but people who are actually in the hobby and are there to fly, just the everyday pilots, I think they're heading down the electric line to have some good traditional fun.
The activity, you know, this year was so great, and we weren't actually flying off of the electric line. We had... they had a lot more vendors this year. The Hobby King, we were right next to Hi-Tech. Was right next to us. Normally, it's just maybe two or three vendors counting us down there. This year, there's probably easily 10 that was just lined up, and it was really nicely laid out. And our build tent was at the very end of that, and then just in front of that was where we could test fly airplanes and do training and everything. And it was a blast, but they were so busy where our line was a little close to theirs, and we got to cozy up a little bit to them, but there was never a time when there wasn't planes in the air.
That's awesome.
Just around the clock. The weather turned out to be absolutely gorgeous, too.
Mm-hmm. Peter was flying his big cargo plane, right?
He flew his cargo plane. We got our first taste of RC skydiving, and just a hint coming out, you'll get to see some skydivers falling out of Peter's awesome cargo. We got to do that. We also got to see some really amazing designs from some family members. So Chad Capper, back when we first started flight test, tried to make a flying box. There was a father son that had the craziest, coolest steampunk look, rode around these crazy bicycles, but they actually made the flying box work and
nice.
Did a phenomenal job. We got a video on that as well too, but really the tone was best set by the people that we got to hang out with. Just like we say every year, it's the people that make the events. The amount of the flight test community that showed up, but also people that came down, we got to meet for the first time, but then mm-hmm. just hung out with us. It took about 2 days, but that tent went from being all closed off, which I don't know why it was closed off. We got there, we pulled down the wall, and from that point on, it just kept getting busier and busier. And by the Thursday, Friday, Saturday, there was it was around the clock. The lights never even turned off. You know, 1 o'clock in the morning, there are people still building in there.
Wow.
It's awesome. pretty awesome experience.
That's really cool.
The other thing you guys got to do, and this video is already actually out, but the Triple Tree gang there, they've been building the Valkyrie project.
Yeah.
A huge, what is that? What do you call that? Stick and tissue, or is that?
Well, back then it was stick and tissue. It was a Carl Goldberg Valkyrie that was double sized. Yep, and it's one of the most intricate planes I think ever designed. Every rib is unique, and it's all build up ribs. So you know, if you want to basically put together a 4,000 piece puzzle that you have to cut out every piece on, that's what a Valkyrie is. And it's balsa wood monocoat, total conventional strict truss. But the neat thing is, it's a pylon style. You don't just lay it flat on a building board and do one side. You have to jig up all the formers, and then you have to run your stringers all the way down, and you got to keep everything true and square. It's a really advanced build. And it took them 8 years building during Joe Nall time.
They only built it during the event, so 8 work sessions, and they built that thing, and it was a community build. Mm-hmm. So I know Peter's name was on there. Your name was probably on there.
I think I maybe put one stick in, actually.
Yeah, but, so you could go and sign a stick, and then they would put it in there.
Yeah,
which is pretty cool, and they flew well, and that video is actually already released that mm-hmm. this week. So you can check it out.
I really wish they flew it so late at night. It was so mm-hmm. hard to get good footage. I really wish they would have flown a second time, but there's no way to describe the size of that thing unless you had a plane flying close to it.
Yeah,
but it was absolutely huge, and the way it flew was beautiful. So I'm sure we'll see more of the Valkyrie in the future. Hopefully they'll fly it next year too.
Yep. So yeah. I was actually really jealous. I didn't make it to Joe Nall. I've been there once, and it's truly an amazing event, but the reason we weren't there is because Austin and myself, as well as Dave Knopp and Josh Scott, we were in San Francisco. We went down there to check out Maker Faire, which we went to Maker Faire for the first time last year. We went to the New York one, and if you guys haven't been to Maker Faire, check out their website, because they do Maker Faires all over the world. I think I just saw one that on their website. They just had one in Vienna. But the two big ones are New York and San Fran, but they have mini Maker Faires literally almost every single state all over the world.
And some of them aren't so many.
Some of them are not.
The Detroit one's big. There's now a Washington, D.C. one.
Well, for example, the big one that we went to in San Fran, it's 200,000 attendants.
Yeah.
So that means that a small one is still a pretty decent size. But right. Basically, for people who don't know, Maker Faire is just an event dedicated towards makers. DIY. Basically, if you build anything, it's a cool event to go through. If you like creating things,
don't they call it the world's biggest show and tell?
Yeah,
yeah.
So you have people just showing stuff. You have people selling stuff. You have people demonstrating things. You have crazy. I think there's a good portion of the guys that go to Burning Man that go to Maker Faire.
What's Burning Man?
Burning Man's that huge festival in the desert where they have the giant installations and crazy vehicles and
a lot of the people like artists that like create like big metal things for like sculptures and stuff for Burning Man. They use Maker Faire as a second opportunity to exhibit their work, since it's there's not a whole lot of places where you can like exhibit 8 foot tall fire breathing insects.
Yeah, or fire breathing rhinos.
There's a lot of spoons.
There's a lot of fire breathing metal animals. Yeah. But anyways, another cool thing about it is there's lots of RC stuff. From underwater to ground stuff to even air stuff. Lots of drones is popular buzz term there, and multi-rotors, obviously. The Game of Drones guys have a huge presence at Maker Faire, which is really, really cool. And they set up, for safety, they set up kind of like a netted gate, which we also released another video from Maker Faire. It's already up if you haven't checked it out yet. But they have a netted flying area where you can actually battle drones. And literally the whole entire weekend, there's hundreds of people gathered around just watching. People are so, you know, intrigued by anything that's flying in the air on its own.
Every drone was so different, too. I mean, they had the common Game of Drones drone.
But there was other ones, too. Yeah. Lots of kids. It was a really cool experience for the kids, I think. And hats off to the Game of Drones guys for really embracing that. Those kids, that was an experience they'll probably never forget, you know, flying in front of all those people and just having a great time. It's really cool. We met a lot of flight testers. Joel and a couple of the other guys that were there that I met. It was great to meet you guys and hang out and We even ran into them later that week because we stayed in the area for a while. And actually, right after you guys got back from Joe Knoll, mm-hmm. you guys flew, you, Josh, Peter, and Eric
yes.
flew out.
We drove home from Joe Knoll. And it was, we got in, I think it was Sunday morning, and then Monday morning we were leaving. So it was like, okay, guys, see you tomorrow. And yeah. We had to be up at like 2 in the morning. I think you guys had to do the same thing.
Yeah.
Up at 2 in the morning and meeting each other. But unfortunately, I was packing up and I ran into a situation
yeah,
that changed a lot.
Since this is an audio format, here. You can see. The
How's that?
That's what Josh's cast sounds like.
That's what my cast sounds like, yes.
He's got a cast all the way up to his elbow. So how'd you get that cast, Josh? Was that just a fashion deal, or
it was crazy? There was a young lady doing nothing wrong, and there's like 10 muggers, and they came out of nowhere, and I had to defend, you know, this poor lady, and the final guy had a crowbar, so.
And you beat them with your forearms.
Yeah, it was either that or a little baby raccoon scared me.
You guys get to pick which one. So choose your own story.
If anyone knows, last year, right after Flight Fest, my kids and I, and I, by the way, I love starting projects, and sometimes I finish them. But right after Flight Fest, the way the year was running, we weren't able to take a family vacation, so what we did was do a family project. And it's been a blast. I got some woods in the back of the property. We cleared it out, and we built a treehouse, but being the cheapskate self I am, I realized I could build this thing really big, really affordably. And we did 2 stories. And it's now a stilt house in the woods.
Stilt house. I've never heard that before.
Yeah, well, it's a house on stilts.
It's true. Yeah, a tree house does not do justice. And it is 2 stories, but those 2 stories are about, what, 12, 15 feet up?
The first story is 10 feet up, and then there's a nice high 8-foot ceiling, and then another 8-foot, you know, roof. So it's
And it's on a ravine, mm-hmm. so the back side of the house is literally like 50 feet in the air.
Yeah, it feels 50 feet. It's only 32, but it feels really, really high. I'm scared of heights, and I did a stupid thing because I had to hire a guy to finish my roof because I had a rope tied around me, and I was like lashed to the thing, but I still didn't have the guts to be able to
Josh,
do it.
Josh, you down talk it, man. I house sat for you that one time. I went up there, and it was before there was any railings.
Yeah.
And I tell you, man,
it's sketchy.
I went and got my wife. I was like, "You gotta check out this treehouse," and she's like, "No."
It's cool. My original thing I went into college for was architecture, and I love architecture. I design very awkward looking things because I always go cheap instead of for form. But yeah, the top deck is pretty cool. But long story short, I had to build a crate because we're gonna be doing a build with Nerdnik's new MiG 3, and I had the kit all ready to go, but I missed the deadline to ship it. So I was gonna build a wooden box that I could check, and I had to get a little chalk line, a little line that you pull and you snap a line, and I was gonna build a wood crate real quick. Went up to the second story of the tree house, and I had wood covering up my tools so that way the elements wouldn't hurt anything. I throw open the wood, and I didn't know it, but I heard it. There was a little raccoon about a foot size. And I pinned it down accidentally with the wood, and it just went in like four-wheeled low trying to get out from under this wood. And all I heard was this little like this. Well, by the time the wood hit the wall, it let go of the raccoon, and when I saw the raccoon finally, it was running straight towards my feet. And when I'm saying running, I mean it wasn't attacking me. It was just trying to get out of this big piece of wood I pinned it down with.
He's getting out of there quick.
And like a little sissy girl, what do? I turn straight around. I don't grab the ladder to my left. I think it was to my left. And go down the ladder. I just run straight off the top story, and I hit my head. I hit my head going down against the wall, and then my hand was underneath, and I hit my leg. And then from that point on, I fell on my wrist and broke my wrist. So the best part was when I went back, and by the time I got back to the house, my wrist was like I had like a golf ball growing out of it.
Oh, I'm sure
it was gross. And my wife's like, I was like, you know, I sprained my wrist. She's like, that's not a sprain. And I argued with her over it. So she made me go to the emergency room, and sure enough, I broke it. But they wrote on my chart, and this is the worst part: fell out of his treehouse. And I explained to him I didn't fall out of my treehouse. It's a family project, and I'm a noble father. And they asked, well, why'd you fall out? It's like, well, I was running from a raccoon. So then they changed the thing to fell out of his treehouse running from a raccoon. And at that point, I just handed him my man card. And I think my wife shot a picture of me being all cranky faced.
Yeah, maybe we can post that in the show notes.
That was after the thing. So there's the story.
He was not happy. And we laugh about it now, but you literally could have died. Seriously.
You guys would know that you could have died.
You just would have run off the other side.
I felt bad because that was 8:30 at night. I got back at the house at 10, and we had to be up at 2 in the morning.
You were leaving in eight hours for San Francisco.
Jen helped me pack, and I was kind of miserable. They gave me some really good medicine.
Only the best.
Peter picked me up. He was really great about it. You guys are really cool helping out. You guys knew about it ahead of time and started working on planes.
Actually, I don't think I told you, but when Jen texted us and just said, we think Josh broke his arm, and we were like, what? How did he do that? And I actually said he probably fell out of his treehouse.
Are you serious?
Do you remember, Austin? Yes, I do. I did say that.
I wasn't working on it, honestly.
That was prophetic.
Oh, I should have bet some money, man.
There you go. You could have made some good loot. But yeah, I had to go there, and Peter picked me up and drove me, and then I was on some pretty good pain meds in there. I didn't really feel much, but I think I was acting funny from what you guys described. So that was the breaking of the arm story.
That's it. So
yeah, now you know. You can tell all your friends.
So and then he showed up the Monday after Maker Faire, and we shot content in the area. We actually we got 18 videos, which is good. Mm-hmm. They're not all complete episodes, but it's a lot of segments and stuff like that. We've released a couple of them already, so check them out if you haven't already.
Yeah.
Wednesday, we actually got to do a community meetup, which was...
That was awesome.
So cool. It was on the West Coast. So we were staying in Oakland, which is kind of north or kind of east of San Fran. And we did the meetup in a place called Bayfront, which is south. We drove about an hour and a half or so.
No, that was actually Baylands.
Baylands. I get them. Oh, Bayfront?
Bayfront is the one in
Baylands. Yeah, so we are at Baylands. I get all those bays mixed up.
Yeah, I know, so many bays.
That's why I wonder why they call it the Bay Area. But yeah, the meetup was awesome. I don't know how many people ended up showing up totally, but it was by far, for me,
it was a highlight.
Dan Knight, who's on the trip with us, he said that he roughly had counted about 200 people.
Wow. Which is cool. So thank you guys for coming out. It was great hanging out with you guys. Great flying. I tell you what, man, and maybe it's just the local clubs that are around us in this area, but that was a totally different experience than anything I've ever experienced. You guys' flying club out there, did it have a name?
Don't they just meet there? I know it's where Nerd Nick regularly flies.
Yeah, I don't know that it's anything official. I think it's just people know the times, there's other people out there, and I think, yeah.
Maybe that's the best way to do it because, well, the hospitality and the energy there, friendly environment.
So laid back, too. And it's not that they didn't have rules because they did have rules, and when somebody would break them, they'd let them know. But it wouldn't be the end of the day. A lot of the clubs I've been to, if something serious happens, like, for example, while we were there, there was a hex. It was probably a 500 or 600 millimeter hexacopter just started flying away. And everybody's just yelling and screaming, dump it, dump it, dump it. And eventually, luckily, the guy finally cut the power before it got to the highway and it went down and it hit in the grass. But it was a pretty serious event. And once everything was okay and we figured out what happened and the guy knew that he was in the wrong, everything just went back to normal, and everybody went back to flying. There was no bad energy, no bad blood. Nobody was rude or mean because it was an honest mistake. And you just don't see that around here, which is really kind of unfortunate, but it was great to experience it out there. Hopefully we can bring some of that element from the West Coast and bring it out over here to the East Coast.
One thing I really loved that I saw, too, is the amount of young kids flying. I mean, just having a comfortable enough. And if anyone knows, usually when kids are flying, they're nervous. There was no nervous energy there.
Oh, what was the kid? Oh, the one kid's name Ben, man.
Yep, Benjamin. I just looked him up on Facebook.
Great hanging out with you. Ben was a 3D pilot.
Yep. As a matter of fact, Joe Vermillion, if you listen to podcasts, I want to make a plea to you. Benjamin's dream is to be a sponsored pilot by Precision Aerobatics.
He is sponsored by Precision Aerobatics.
I know he's been wanting to.
He
told me he's been wanting to.
He told me that he got sponsored that morning.
Okay, I think that's where they just let him buy stuff.
Oh, okay.
And he wants to be like the next step up.
Gotcha. Yeah, well, he's definitely got the skills, man. I tell you what,
Benjamin Mackles, look up that name. If he's contacting you, please take that call because watching what he was doing with his little
night
vision air was incredible. Yep. So smooth on the sticks.
Yep.
So I told him, and Joe, I think I sent you a personal message, but now I'm just making it public so you can't ignore it. Benjamin was awesome, and we got to do more meetups. That honestly, I could do that every day.
Meetups are fun.
And the amount of people that turned up, it wasn't the amount of people, but it's also a fact of what you brought. You brought your families, you brought your friends, and you brought a lot of planes that you built too. And and it wasn't just our planes. It was some awesome designs. There's a VTOL.
There's a crazy B-52 looking thing.
The B-52 dropping tons of bombs. It was awesome to see what you guys are doing. We love it.
Well, also, we were kind of thinking like a few dozen people for sure would be there. But I mean, we could have easily made that an all-day thing. And I think that if we would have started it, the unfortunate thing was is that for our schedule, it was like a Thursday or something, or a Tuesday.
It was Tuesday.
So it was like a random Tuesday afternoon.
Yeah.
So I wish that we could have done it like Saturday morning and gone all day, which we probably will do that in the future.
Yeah, it was a giant learning experience for us, so... We hope to do more of it in the future.
Actually, we have some West Coast announcements that we can't talk about quite yet.
Well, I'll talk about it right now. What we're going to be doing. No, Austin just pinched me.
we got some stuff coming up, but we're looking forward to getting back out to the West Coast again soon. So.
We will be there. It's going to happen. You just don't know where and when.
So speaking of meetups, Flight Fest.
Is coming up.
It's coming up fast, like real fast.
I saw Alex in. I mean, you've been in hardcore go mode for a couple of weeks now. You've been pumping out for the t-shirts and working your butt off. Mm-hmm. So thank you for that. Mm-hmm. It's crazy go time.
I was just telling Alex to a little closer.
Yeah. Austin's trying to pinch all of us.
It's definitely coming along, and we're really excited to see everybody at Flight Fest. It's going to be. I mean,
how many pilots so far?
Right now we have about we have over 600 pre-registered.
And last year we were right around 650 for total, right?
I think we had about like 650 like officially registered last year, but basically like Saturday, like we kind of abandoned registration on Saturday and just kind of like people were just kind of coming. Uh-huh. So
Don't tell AMA that.
Yeah, right. So we're gonna be we have a lot more organized system this time, and
I think actually, pre-registered last year though we only had like 300 some.
It was like 375 or something like that last year for pre-registered. Is what I'm hoping is that most people that would have a tendency to register at the event pre-registered, and actually I would encourage you if you're still planning on coming, please pre-register, just because we. You know, we just, it really helps us for the headcount and everything. And also it makes your arrival seamless because
it's probably especially if you're camping, right?
Yeah. Well, yeah, just in general, because no matter what kind of tickets you bought, if you pre-register, we can just check you in electronically and give you your passes and send you on your merry way. If you don't, then it quadruples the amount of time it takes to get registered and get checked in and all that. So,
and one thing's for sure this year is everyone's going to be pretty cozy, right?
We have secured some more space on the property, so there is going to be a lot more space for parking and for a little bit more space for camping. So,
nice.
It's going to be full. It's going to be a full house. So, but I mean, it's good. Last year there was never excess or really any kind of line to like go out and fly. No. I mean, it didn't feel cramped last year.
Mm-hmm.
It felt busy.
It's pretty busy and it's pretty laid back atmosphere. And for those of you who are on the fence or haven't come before, just so you know, there's lots of flight lines. So there isn't really any wait time. Keep that in mind though, if you're thinking about bringing something nice to fly, like one of your more beloved planes, if you have like a balsa buildup or something like that. Not to say that there's no rules, because there is patterns and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But pretty much there's always a good fleet of aircraft in the air.
We actually have, I think, had less midairs and less crazy accidents. Our Band-Aid box didn't even go empty.
Yeah.
So it was pretty impressive. But yeah, there's such activity. But I think what helped keep everything regular is we don't do noontime demos. We don't shut down the lines.
Nope.
People can fly whenever they want, and that I think kept that bottleneck of people saying, "Okay, now the flight line's open. Let's just
get." And then it gets swamped. Yeah.
Yeah. And it's a fun atmosphere.
Yeah. And so, if you're interested in that, or if you just want to check it out, you can go to flightfest.com. There's a bunch of details there. Also, we have some awesome sponsors this year that are helping support the event. Grobner's a big one. They're our gold sponsor.
No Kickstarter this year.
Yeah, there's no Kickstarter this year.
It's already been started.
Because you guys
started. Yeah, it's already been Kickstarted. And GetFPV, AMA, Quad Lugs, High Tech, and Gen Zace are all pitching in for the event as well. So you look for those guys there. And also we have a ton of vendors coming. Mm-hmm. A lot of your guys' favorite vendors will be there.
We got Laser Toys coming.
There's a ton. So there's a few dozen. And
another cool thing is we're going to be bringing in Jake Marshall. He's going to be flying in with his wonderful son. And if you guys haven't heard in previous podcasts, we're going to be kicking something off called FT Connections. And that's where we're going to connect flight with education, community, and outreach. Jake Marshall has been a blessing for the education and also the community building. And Lee, if you guys have contacted, you probably dealt with Lee Kackner too. He's a blessing with the outreach and also crossing over to the community. And you'll probably be talking to one of those people quite a bit. But both Lee and Jake are going to be there to answer a lot of questions in regards to FT Connections. And if you guys haven't met Jake Marshall, what he's done with those kids.
You may know him from Mesa RC Foam Fighters.
Exactly.
You can find a lot of their articles on flighttest.com. Mm-hmm. Basically, he's a teacher, and he does an awesome program out at his school that he teaches at in Colorado. And they go by Mesa RC Foam Fighters, mm-hmm. and it's just an awesome program where kids learn about all kinds of different things.
Yep. And we're going to model that program and create a STEM, and he's actually the author of that STEM program, and then hopefully utilize that to bring RC Flight into as many schools and educational platforms as possible, but also after-school programs, outreach ministries, things like that. We want to see people able to learn from RCs, also build relationships through flying together. Just what we always talk about, kind of the flight test model. But a lot of teachers have asked questions. If you're a teacher or you're interested in any of that, Flight Test is going to have them there to do that personally. And also we have Nerd Nick, also known as Nick Lechner.
Yep,
Lechner is going to be coming out, and we did while we're in California, mm-hmm. we have it's going to ultimately be our second release, but we did his MiG-3. It's going to be coming to the store in the near future.
Second community release.
Second community, and our first one is going to be coming, and that's going to be tentatively the Bloody Baron, and that was designed by Dan Spuholtz and his wonderful son, who we talked about in the last year's take, but. Since then, he's divine little baby barons and stuff, but it's such a great companion for the Bloody Wonder. We're going to be doing, I think, a lot of the content for that episode there. So if you guys want to build a Bloody Baron, we're hopefully going to be doing that and doing some episodes.
It's basically Bloody Wonder's partner in crime.
Yeah. It builds just like the Bloody Wonder, but looks completely different, but flies exactly the same.
Yep.
With a rudder.
With a rudder.
Wow, that was long-winded.
I think you said it all in one breath, too, which is impressive.
We're going to give Josh 30 seconds to breathe.
Yep. Hyperventilate my Mountain Dew bottle.
So, yeah, we're really excited about Flight Fest, and things are gearing up. We're excited to see everybody. So.
Yep, and I might be having a baby.
That's true. Yeah, so Alex may not be there.
I may or may not be there.
Wow. What are we going to do? Cardboard cutout?
Cardboard cutout? Oh, no, don't do that.
Cardboard cutout of Alex.
Yeah, Alex and his wonderful wife. I tell you what, getting to see the process, because you just got married.
Mm-hmm.
Now you got a baby on the way. It's pretty awesome because we get to see him every day.
Mm-hmm.
But your wife is glowing, and she has a big belly.
Yep, she does.
So you might be at Flight Fest with a baby.
Yeah, could be. It comes early. It's actually due on the 10th, so
it could be literally in the middle of Flight Fest.
Can we announce it? If it happens, we got to announce it over the last speakers.
I'll Periscope you guys.
No, you won't. Yeah, I'm sure if Lindsay has anything to do with it, you won't be.
Periscoping's been cool. We just started doing that. You did that.
Yeah.
You did that.
Yeah, internet stuff.
Is it Periscope or Periscope?
Periscope.
Could be either.
You can say Periscope if you want.
Well, I don't want to say it wrong. People make fun of me.
Yeah, I think that for people that aren't familiar, Periscope is a social media app that basically allows you to...
We should Periscope while we're doing this.
Yeah, we could. Want to do it right now?
Yeah, let's Periscope us describing what Periscope is.
And then we can close out taking a few questions from Periscope. How about that?
Oh my gosh, look what just happened.
There's internet awesomeness.
Wait a minute, are we using one social media device? to finish off another social media device.
If you want to say it that way, then go right on ahead.
I am so tired right now.
Yeah, you looked a little tired when you came in this morning.
It's been a crazy
week.
My
dad's been loving Periscope.
Really?
Yeah, you should subscribe to him.
Maybe I will.
I finally actually started my own.
We could even, well, you know, I don't want to do tour. I was going to say we could even show him what the shop looks like, but
that would be fair. Maybe we'll do that afterwards.
Just got a notification. Flight test is periscoping
wow.
live.
Well, wow, I'm wearing an orange shirt. They're going to become a criminal. Hold up, I got to get a different shirt. I got my Mountain Dew.
Josh, nobody cares you're wearing an orange shirt.
No, I can't wear that. That's just wrong.
Josh can't be seen in any shirt other than a flight test shirt. Alex, turn that down. That's weird. So I don't know where to put this. Because there's no way we can all get in the shot.
It's too bad that Periscope doesn't have a landscape feature where you can turn the thing sideways.
Yeah, there's a nice picture of a mic.
Well, it's just to prove that we really are podcasting.
That's true, yeah.
Hey, guys, is your screen, like, zoomed in?
No, man. You're okay. Zoomed in.
So, yeah, we're in the middle of a podcast right now.
Yeah, they wouldn't recognize us.
We're recording. Josh had an orange shirt on, and he was worried that nobody would recognize him, so he went to put a flight test shirt on.
Right, exactly. You know what? I'll just hold it.
I feel so much better.
Hello from San Diego.
So
this is epic.
Basically, people listening to the podcast, Periscope is a live streaming app, and we're live streaming right now. So we're going to take a couple Q&A questions.
From Periscope.
Yeah, if anybody on Periscope has any questions right now, feel free to ask us.
And if you want to listen to this podcast, it's posting today.
That's funny. My dad's actually watching.
Is he?
Hello, Mr. Zavada. Guys, do you have any questions for us to answer?
It can be about Flight Fest. It can be about,
yeah, there's general. Josh's cast.
It is my cast.
It is updates on Flight Fest. So we actually just talked about that a little bit, but it's coming along great. Flight Fest is 9th through the 12th. Mm-hmm. What are we working on today, Austin? We got the map. How many registered pilots?
Right now we're at about 600, pre-registered pilots, actually over 600 pre-registered pilots, which is pretty cool. I'm looking forward to seeing everybody there.
Coming along. It's going to be crazy. We got two big build tents.
Yeah.
So if you guys were at Flight Fest last year, we have two of the big build tents. Somebody wants to sign your cast.
You know what? I need help here because the cast is coming off in 3 weeks, but I got black and I got a silver Sharpie marker. Is it normal for adults to get signed casts?
I think so. Looking forward to it.
Okay. We're going to do it. I want my wife to be the first one. The raccoon will be the second. I need help because when this cast comes off, I want to make it fly. And I have my own ideas, but I'd like to have people tell me how they'd like to see it fly, whether multi-rotor, fixed wing.
I think fixed wing, make it into like a rocket plane.
I think it should be a guided missile of revenge upon any raccoons.
Somebody was asking when the MiG-3 from NerdNik is going to be coming out.
Okay, it's going to be coming out probably about a month because... Dan, I committed to Dan to be the first one, and I want to honor that. So the Bloody Baron,
which is our first community build, will be coming out first, and then
right after Flight Fest. I think we're gonna hit that content that we get from Flight Test and turn that into the video and the build video as soon as possible. And then we'll probably have two community releases, which I really didn't want to do in a row. But NerdNik's and Dan's Puholtz designs are so amazing. One's a warbird, and one's just a plain fun combat ship. I think they really are good releases.
So he followed that up with, when's the Shinden coming out?
Shinden's never coming out. You know, I love and hate the Shinden. The Shinden is flying pretty good now. We'll get it out this year. Maybe, you know what, maybe we'll do? Maybe we'll release, oh, Jim, don't want Jim to hear this, okay? Maybe we'll release the Shinden and the MiG-3 really, really close together.
Yeah, when we talk about releasing products, we got to talk quietly so manufacturing doesn't rip our heads off.
They're not sleeping. They work until like the middle of the night every night.
They're crazy. Jim McQuaid asked if there's going to be showers at Flight Fest, and the answer is yes. Mm-hmm. Somebody else was asking, which do you prefer, head play goggles or fat sharks? We were actually just talking about that earlier.
I definitely, for my opinion last night, and head plays, my kids. Matter of fact, my youngest, Michael, he's been flying off the head plays. And you saw the footage of him flying. First time ever flying FPV, it was a Bixler. He was threading the needle. He was flying down between fence posts that were open, like hot let horses go through. He loves them. And for a young kid to be able to put them on and instantly have success, my brother loves them because he wears glasses. I put them on. I still prefer the Fat Shark attitudes. So if you don't mind spending the extra $150, I think is what it would be beyond for the Fat Shark attitudes, that's my personal favorite. They do fog up a little bit easier. Mm-hmm. But for me, the clarity and the comfort's just...
The portability too. The Fat Sharks really can't be beat. Yeah. The built-in 5.8 receiver. Mm-hmm. So really, you just have the goggles. There's no ground station. Well, I do like the head plays. It was a really cool immersive experience.
Yeah.
But for me, the portability of the Fat Sharks really outweighs it.
If you're piping an HD link, it wouldn't be so bad. But what I noticed was, I say comfort. I'm not talking about comfort because the head plays just like hugged your face and they were very comfortable.
Mm-hmm.
I'm talking about just the bulkiness nature of it. You know, you're turning your head and stuff and you don't feel the weight, but you're just aware of this huge thing.
You know, yes. Next question. People are asking about... Look at you giving
that. Whoa, look at that.
People are wondering about flight test foam in Europe.
We're working on it.
Yeah, it's a lot tougher than we were anticipating.
Yeah, flight test foam will be a reality.
It actually is a reality. We have it. Yeah. It's not the foam that's a problem. It's the shipping.
Well, it's how to classify it, too. Mm-hmm. I think the first time we went around, we tried to classify it as a toy, which it's not a toy. It's a craft material. And that should open up doors. But we want to make sure when it gets down to Europe, it's not a, you know, triple the cost or super expensive. We want to keep it down as close to a buck or a euro as possible. And that's where we're really fighting right now.
Someone asked why I switched to QAV 400. And I just wanted to experiment with a gimbal, and I'd never done that before. And it's a really cool really cool kit. And the gimbal, the thing I like about it the best is the gimbal literally attaches with two screws. So you can fly it as an acro flyer with a hard-mounted camera or with the gimbal. But actually, I've been flying a QAV 250 lately, and just the 250 size quads. The gimbal is cool. But I'm just a mini quad kind of guy. That's just my style.
Yeah, I wouldn't say so much it's that you switched to a QAV 400. It's just that you added one to your arsenal as an option for a gimbal.
And we have used it. I think a lot of people thought it was the Inspire, but in the Mariposa episode, the old Fogey Hobby King knockoff, we used this. We got some cool shots.
The Inspire was the one doing the establishing shots straight down.
The straight down shots, yeah. It's a little different to fly. It's super heavy compared to my mini quads.
Tell my wife.
Compared to the mini quads, it feels like a freight train. Hobby King DIY goggles. I don't think we've ever tried those.
I actually bought a set.
I think they just came out with a new set, version 2 of those. What are they, Quantum or whatever they're called?
The Quantum goggles?
Yeah.
I bought the original set. You know what we ended up doing was using like a little briefcase. And without the diopters, it's pretty cool. But for $39, hard to beat it.
Yeah, definitely.
I think there's trying to see if there's any other questions.
I have a lot of them.
Some people want you to donate their cast to them. That's weird.
Oh, by the way, someone said about being black. It's a washable cast. It's waterproof material in there, so I can like hose it down and everything.
You go swimming.
I still don't have stinky cast syndrome, which someone asked me about through email.
Email?
So they emailed me and say, hey, you know, make sure you don't get too sweaty in that cast, or it'll be stinky by the time you get a flight fest. And it'll be off before flight fest. I'll have a white pale arm from my elbow to my fingers.
My dad actually just asked, "Where's my logoed flight test shirt?" And this is actually a sample shirt that we got sent in the mail today, so I'm testing this out because we're going to be ordering Flight Fest shirts and flight test shirts for 2015.
I was testing out the volunteer shirt. It was very comfortable.
It's basically a shirt test today. But cool. Any more question, guys? Best quadcopter FPV for starters. We just did an episode on that. Mm-hmm. First time FPV.
Oh yeah, on the Blade Glimpse. Mm-hmm.
We got some new frames coming out.
Yeah. Speaking of which, perfect timing.
This is totally not a question. If someone could ask, I'd appreciate it so we can answer it. But who's
Josh's barber?
I'm Josh's barber.
Yeah, Josh is Josh's barber.
I have. Can you see? Did I do a good job?
Looks pretty good.
All right.
Good.
We got some new frames coming out in June. We're not going to do any airplane releases because manufacturing's prepping for Flight Fest. But Eric Monroe designed an awesome Y6. And he also designed a really cool rail system for camera gear, landing gears, all for AP. And that's also crossover to some racers we're going to release. And in the near future, we're going to have a new frame. I think we're going to call it the Versacopter.
Versacopter. I like that.
So we've been calling it the Electro Hub Pro for the longest time, but I think we're going to call it the Versacopter. It's not a flying wing. It's a multi-rotor. But it does like 8 different platforms. And we were flying it last night. We had 3 of them up at once. And it's a blast. So it'll do race quad all the way up to AP. So look for a lot of new multi-rotor designs coming out, with a lot of new add-ons, too.
Someone asked if Flight Fest is a beginner-friendly event.
So
the answer is yes.
Well, the friendliest event in the world for beginners.
Somebody also asked, is it Is there going to be any help for beginners at Flight Fest? Mm-hmm. Which the answer is absolutely yes.
Yeah, we got people. We have an army of awesome volunteers that help us out at least last year and this
year. Literally an army.
Yeah, and they're great. So we got people. We have a build tent where you can build stuff and people help you with any questions and stuff like that. There's also people on the flight line, people there to buddy box with you, people there to spot for you.
People to help you fix.
Fix anything, yep.
Well, and even like official...
Ryan Papp, there you are. What's up, Ryan?
Hey, Ryan.
I'm one. Yeah, I mean, and even official help aside, it's such a friendly atmosphere. Mm-hmm. If you need help with something, I mean, the people you're camping beside or flying beside, you know, ask somebody for help.
This sounds egotistical to say. I think it's possibly the most friendly flying event. I know we've only done it 1 year so far, but from what I've heard...
From all the events that I've been to, and I've been to a handful,
yeah.
I would agree with you.
I've never seen such a spirit of servanthood from people, you know, that don't know each other, building friendships with each other, but also helping each other have success. So don't be afraid if you've never flown before and you want to see what it's like. This would probably be the event to go to really experience it in the purest form.
Also, guys, if you can't make it to Flight Fest, the way to experience Flight Fest is going to be to get Periscope.
Yep.
So if you want to kind of feel like you're at
Flight Fest. You're telling them that, but they already have Periscope if they're watching.
Yeah, I know. But
so the podcast.
Yeah, talking to the podcast. Yes. I don't know if you forgot, Josh, we're doing a podcast.
Oh, I know we're doing a podcast. I kept staring at that when I was talking.
Although I actually did kind of forget it for a second.
Did you? Well, I don't want to insult the podcast.
Oh, yeah. Also, Ryan Pep just mentioned big community builds will happen at Flight Fest.
Yes.
It's a really cool thing that happens, and people all pull together. Peter did one. There was a giant old fogey. We did the FT Flyer, which is what Ryan worked on.
Yep.
But basically, just huge projects. Everybody's working together, and you make a giant, huge airplane or make something fly.
And that's one of the reasons why we got the second build tent. Mm-hmm. It's because there's so much of that going on.
So we're going to have 40 feet by 200 feet of build space. Mm-hmm. Rain or shine, we'll be in that tent building.
Mm-hmm.
So that's cool.
Which is crazy.
So cool. I think that's a good amount of questions from you guys on Periscope. Thanks for watching, guys.
Yeah, thanks for watching. We'll do this again soon. And
are we ever going to Periscope while we're podcasting?
I don't know. That was kind of a spur-of-the-moment thing.
Yeah. So yeah.
For podcast listeners, I know we kind of recapped a lot of the stuff we just podcasted about. But we didn't really plan to Periscope during the podcast.
Yeah, so sorry, it was a good experiment. That was my blabbing.
But if you're not following us on Periscope, for podcast listeners, please do. Okay, guys. Thanks for watching. Catch you next time.
See you guys.
Bye.
This is awkward.
But if you're listening to the podcast, we're still here.
Yes.
Dun, dun, dun.
The fun never stops.
This is like content inception.
Yes.
So, guys, sorry this was a little bit of a kind of a catch-up scattered podcast, but I think it was...
That's kind of been the trend lately.
Yeah.
That's what's going on around here.
We should talk about something technical.
Actually, we kind of did.
Actually, I do want to talk about something technical.
Please
tried out yesterday for the first time. Groppner has a new 8-channel receiver that has an embedded...
The GR18.
The GR18, not the L. So if you see the 18 on the description of the MZ12 and you buy it thinking you're going to get a multi-copter control board, you're not going to. But they do have it coming out in July. I got the test one out, and I'm not the best with first-time hookups. But I went through their manual, and I followed step-by-step. It took about 15 minutes, and... worked perfectly.
It's a receiver, flight controller, all in one.
You have five wires going right into your receiver. There's no control board. The thing performs, and right now it has different modes from beginner to expert. I was just flying beginner, but I was able to toss the controls from me to my brother to my younger two boys to James.
To your brother Jim, who has never really flown too much multirotors.
No.
Has never flown FPV, and he was flying at FPV. I was impressed too. And I'm not one for auto level, but the auto level on this thing, it was a perfect setup for a beginner. It was probably the most beginner friendly flying quad that I've ever flown.
It felt like on trainer planes they kind of auto level and the dihedral brings them back to level. It was very soft.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't just like snappy.
It was like butter. So I thought it flew great.
You flew it too, that's right.
Yeah, just I mean the auto level was very subtle.
Yep.
Because I've been practicing in full acro for a while now. And
you don't realize you have it on really, do you?
Yeah, right, exactly. Yeah. It was just like I noticed that I would give it full throttle forward, but then you ease off and it just kind of eases it back. But I found myself naturally bringing it back as if it were an acro,
But so it was a really, it's a great experience. I'm looking forward to see what they do with that.
So that will definitely be something we're going to explore more because I love the simplicity. And also, you don't have to hook up to any computer. All the PIDs, all the different settings, you do through the telemetry link on your receiver. So if you have something like even your MZ12 or your the 24 we're using, you have a full display and you can go in, you can go from a quadcopter to a hexacopter to a tricopter. They even have tricopter with reverse trail servo. And,
I talked to the guys at openhobby.com. They're going to be also releasing a Y6.
Which will be huge for us.
Yeah. So really diverse, interesting flight controller that I haven't really seen a whole lot of chatter about.
No.
Although I did, the Open Hobby guys did say they did get their first batch in.
Did they?
And it immediately sold out.
Well, bummer. We should have ordered some.
Well, yeah. So I told him, give us a heads up on his next shipment, and, and we'll get some in the store. So,
cool.
But yeah, since we, I mean, since we carry Grappner transmitters, it only makes sense to carry the.
I think the price point's going to be, I think, about $90, $95, $99, which is kind of on the upper end. But when you do think about it, a 8-channel receiver. You're not getting a 6-channel, but you're getting an 8-channel full-range receiver, diversity antennas, and that control board, which, by the way, has a barometer in it, which is pretty funny. You can set altitude limits where it'll give you a link saying, hey, you're, you know, altitude limit.
I think the default is it warns you when you're over 100 feet.
Yeah.
I think is what the default
is. Pretty cool features on it, and it's not just going to be tied only to multi-rotors. They're going to have more and more options coming out in the near future. It has a barometer in it. It's a pretty advanced piece of equipment. And the fact that it has a wireless telemetry link, I guess you can justify it for $100.
Well, how much would a nice upper-end 8-channel receiver cost?
Well, right now, 8-channel receiver is going to be about $69.
Okay.
So really, if you take a $69 receiver and you buy an ACE32 board, we have the exact same price.
Well, and some people would pay more just for the simplicity of having one unit instead of a flight control board and a receiver and all the wires that go in between,
and
you have one unit.
I'm eager for Alex and Eric Monroe to really kind of go through it too, because there are some things like NAS32 with CleanFlight gives you one shot, huge. All the different servo or ESE features, what is it, the braking and and those things. I don't know if this is capable of it. We'll find out over time. But for a first time setup, you know, someone just getting into the hobby, getting into race quads, we were cooking pretty good. And to be able to toss it between anybody, put goggles on and say, just go fly it. And everyone had success. It came back in one piece, even after I flew it. That's pretty good.
Yeah.
So, there you go.
Looking forward to getting my own. Mm. But I have to get a Grappner transmitter first, I guess.
You know, I know no place that sells them. So.
Oh, do you? Yeah, okay. Well, I'll have to check it out.
But this is cool. This is cool. I bet you we're probably going to go in greater depth in future podcasts. Probably we'll pick apart, like Joe Nall will pick apart.
Because you guys Eric and Peter aren't even here.
Yes.
I'm sure they have a lot of stories to share.
If you guys don't mind revisiting that, because there's a lot of special things, but we did just want to do a catch up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Cool.
Well, I feel caught up.
Yep.
Do you guys feel caught up?
It's the crib nut version.
You feel good? Everybody feel good?
I got a racing dragonfly I got to finish. And I'm going to make this Mountain Dew bottle fly later. I got inspired.
We have event planning to wrap up for the next month.
I just saw your mind blow up when you thought about that.
Darkness crept in.
Friends, we're sorry. We do love doing the podcast, and we're sorry we missed you can just blame it on me. I'm sure it was my fault.
Yeah, it was definitely Josh's fault. So.
I'm really sorry that I caused the last podcast to be missed, and I will not let it happen again.
We'll be back on our regular schedule, and we always appreciate you guys listening.
And your feedback.
Yeah, and if you guys, if you go to flighttest.com/podcast, you can click on today's podcast. I think I just thought of a title for today's podcast. I think it's to be called Story Time.
Story Time.
So if you click on the podcast that says Story Time, you can leave us a comment about what you thought about the podcast, what you think we should talk about in the next podcast, or guests you think we should have on the show, etc.
Or what I should do with my cast.
Or what you should do with his cast.
I'm not
going
to send this to anybody. That's just hygienically wrong.
Tell you what, we're going to actually do with his cast whatever the majority says in the comment section on the podcast page.
Is that what we're going to do? You just declared it?
Yeah, why not?
That's your reward for listening to the podcast. Putting up with our babble.
So. And listening to the very end of the podcast. So, so follow us on Periscope, guys. Check that out. And hopefully we'll be talking to you guys soon.
See you next time.
See you guys.